course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too bad. Just, you know how it goes. Just living it day by day. That's all you can do these days.
Yeah, pretty much. And then, you know, if you die, hopefully somebody will revive you, bring you back.
Hopefully.
That leads into this episode. We are reviewing the movie The Bride. We'll talk about that later. I can't wait to talk about this movie. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get there, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Let's see. I have been catching up on, I finished watching The Pit, so that's not horror related. But other than that, I've been playing Resident Evil 9. Finally made it through a full playthrough, and I started a second run through. Let's see. I think that is really all I did. I haven't really been able to watch much. I've been kind of busy. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I've been busy too, but I did watch that Pig Hill that came out on Screenbox. It's a little weird, but it's a fun watch. I advise everybody, suggest that everybody go watch it. It was entertaining. Again, it's Pig Hill. It's on Screenbox. We do love our Screenbox and Shudder here on Listen to Their Screams. So big supporters. But speaking of, before we get into everything, I don't know if you've seen this, Ike. Have you seen all the fucking hubbub on social media regarding Shudder and the Joe Bob Briggs show, The Last Drive-In? Have you seen any of this?
I have not.
Okay, so here's the deal, right? Joe Bob Briggs, a horror host, right? A great horror host. Love his show. He does a thing called The Last Drive-In. It's been on Shudder, where, you know, it's the horror host thing, right? They do a movie. They break in with commentary and comments, you know, like Brace, like the old horror host do. Big show. Everybody likes it. Everybody's, you know, there's a group that's a diehard Last Drive-In fans. Well, Shudder and Joe Bob and whoever have announced the series. The other day, the series finale aired. But The Last Drive-In will continue on with like four seasonal specials a year, right? I guess essentially one for each quarter of the year, season of the year, whatever you want to call it. There are people on social media going nuts, making these big predictions about canceling their Shudder subscription because all they subscribe to it for is The Last Drive-In and blah, blah, blah. This has become such a thing on social media. And all I think to myself, it's twofold. I think, first of all, no disrespect to Joe Bob Briggs and The Last Drive-In, but if that's the only reason you're subscribing to Shudder, you're missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other stuff on there. Second of all, if you're that big a Joe Bob Briggs Last Drive-In fan, which is fine, I understand, right? Everybody's got a thing. That's why you're subscribed to Shudder. Well, if they're still doing four specials, why are you canceling? Are these people, I'm assuming these people are going to resubscribe for like a month at a time. It's so weird. I don't know. I don't know. When people do that stuff, it boggles my mind because I feel like all they want to do is just try to stomp their foot and get a little attention on social media. It's such a weird thing.
Yeah. It's weird to me because, like, don't get me wrong. I've had my share of moments where my favorite shows have been canceled and things like that. But I don't know, man. Shudder and Screenbox specifically, they kind of get a pass on a lot of that stuff, in my opinion, because in my experience, neither Shudder nor Screenbox are canceling shows or stopping producing shows for any reason other than it's time for those shows to – those shows have reached a natural conclusion. Like Channel Zero is a big one that I love on Shudder. I, as far as I know, the series is done, but to be fair, it ran for like 5 seasons and they were all great. So I don't know. It's weird. I can understand having this sort of hubbub over like Netflix canceling a show because they cancel shows like I change underwear daily. So
I'm
just
glad
like
you put daily in there, right?
I had to clarify, I guess,
Just so we know.
just in case somebody out there thinks that I'm just walking around with nasty abs or something. But
Nastiest.
it's true though. I mean, Netflix cancels shows like, I mean, it's nobody's business. I mean, they make a killing off of doing that because they rage bait people into,
Yeah.
you reinvent like resubscribing when they finally put out a second season and stuff. So I don't know. There are definitely worse people who do it worse than, I guess, Shudder canceling this one show.
I mean, it's weird to me. I understand, right? I get me a passionate fan of something, and I get it. But it's not like it's completely disappearing, right? They have said it'll continue. I don't. I mean, I guess I'm this weird kind that I'm like, I don't know the full story here, right? Was this a Shudder decision, or was this a Joe Bob Briggs decision? I mean, was it a decision between? I mean, Briggs is not a young guy. Did
Yeah.
perhaps he want to cut back? I'm not saying he does or he doesn't. I don't know that, but that's my point, right? I don't know the full information. Maybe he wanted to cut back a little bit on his workload. Maybe he needed to. I don't know. And again, I am as passionate as the next guy. Fuck, I'm a Firefly fan, for God's sakes. I lived through these mind-boggling cancelizations. That and waiting decades for something to surface and to happen. So I get it, but I don't know. I think, doing this stomping your foot, canceling Shudder, I think it's a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. I mean, it's everybody's choice. You can do what you want to do. But you're missing a lot of good stuff with Shudder. And I mean, I guess if that's all you subscribe to it for, whatever, I guess, but that seems peculiar to me. I don't know. I mean, I guess I subscribe to probably services for like one particular show, but typically I end up discovering more stuff, right? I mean, I don't know. It's just odd to me. But you know what? Such is fandom, whatever it may be. So let's we kind of went on off, off on a tangent there, but that's okay. It was still within the realm of what we talk about here. So again, if you're a last drive-through fan, it's not disappearing. It's just cutting back to spec. And again, I don't know, man. I don't want to get off of it, but maybe it's just they ran out of, they rely on movie rights or public domain movies to be able to air. Perhaps it's just they had to cut back. I don't know. This shit's not, it's not cheap to get movie rights to air, because that's what they do. They air movies with commentary between, I don't know, whatever. It tis what it is. I'm not taking a side. It's just a very interesting situation to watch. So,
It is.
yeah. So there we go. All right, let's take a break and get off this topic. And when we come back, we'll have many other topics and news and birthdays and all that. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right, we got some good stuff here today. A lot of birthdays and anniversaries, so bear with us here. But on the news front, we have Mike Flanagan assigned a multi-year deal with Amazon MGM Studios to produce original series beginning with the upcoming Carrie series. Kind of seems like Mike Flanagan is doing like a, instead of a bar hop, a streaming hop. where he did a bunch of shit for Netflix, and now he's moving on to Amazon MGM. Not that I blame him. Netflix likes to cancel shit half-baked, and there are a couple of his shows that I feel like could have used additional seasons and or follow-ups, and they probably just told him to
Which you've
kick rocks.
already made clear with your underwear analogy.
Correct. Absolutely. Hey, Amazon, it does some good stuff. They're involved with that show From, which is really good. Fallout's really good. I would say that borders more on sci-fi than horror, but it's still pretty good. They've done some other good stuff too. Like My Best Friend's Exorcism was a fun movie.
The
If
boys.
you, The Boys, yeah. I'm cool with it. Amazon, swoop them up, get some TV shows out of them. Let's do it.
I like this, right? I like Mike Flanagan. This is I think this is pretty much horror centric, right? Everything he's going to do is horror centric. I'm looking forward to the Carrie series, but if we're getting Mike Flanagan with some money behind him, getting to produce and formulate some other horror series for a powerhouse like Amazon and their studios, I'm all about that, right? Let's give Mike Flanagan some creative rein. Let's give him some money, and let's let him produce some series. In theory, great. Let's do it and see what he comes up with. I'm looking forward to the Carrie series. And who knows what he'll get to do in the future with this deal, right? It's a multi-year thing. They're probably giving him probably a lot of creative freedom here to pitch ideas and everything else. So I got a lot of faith in Flanagan and what he'll do and the work he'll provide. So I think this is an exciting thing until they come up with something that proves us otherwise. Anything that involves the potential for more horror series, yeah, sure, bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right. Kind of slow news week, so we're just going to jump now to a few birthdays we have. We're going to go here with March 12, 1952. Sven Gulli, of course, the Chicago-based horror host who is still hosting a show on METV. It's I've heard of Sven Gulli. I've even seen him a few times on the YouTubes. Iconic character, and always a fun time.
Definitely. Svengoolie is a great, what do you want to call it? A great ambassador for horror. He's a great throwback to the horror host. The current Svengoolie, Rich Cause, the second incarnation of the character, which is okay, right? Because that happens. It's a character. It's passed on. This is passed on legitimately from the first guy to Cause. Cause worked for the first guy, I believe. Again, Chicago based, that's where Svengoolie originated. Now has a deal on MeTV. Still hosts these shows, these horror host things. I believe it's weekly. Hopefully, again, I know we talked about the last drive-in and that kind of the horror host kind of thing. But Svengoolie is he's great. He's become very recognizable, right? He's got Toonie Terrors figures. He's got other things out there. People know Svengoolie. MeTV is a nationwide network that's on a lot of cable systems. It's pretty cool. I'm glad to see the horror host thing has not completely died out, and we still have some of that out there, because that's a very, very integral part of horror history. For people of a certain age, me, that's our introduction to horror, right? I mean, mine again. I've talked about it before. Mine, living in Indiana, my introduction to horror was Sammy Terry. That's how. His weekly show was how I saw for the first time a lot of these kind of movies and a lot of the Universal movies and some of that stuff. That's what piqued my interest in this genre was watch Sammy Terry scared the piss out of me. And he but I came back every week to watch him. I went to parades and events to see him. This is a very integral part of horror fandom. And where it's at. Again, I'm rambling, but because this is important to me, the horror host thing, that's important. So I'm glad to see Svengoolie still doing it. I'm glad to see he's doing it on a big scale. that, you know, there's somebody still out there keeping that spirit alive. And I know there's a lot of people out there that do it online, you know, on YouTube and different things. And love it. Keep doing your thing, everybody that's out there. This is an important thing. It's important work you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, there's all kinds of people who do that kind of thing. You know, Samichai Svengoolii, on a little bit of a higher level. You know, you have like your Elviras, and then I suppose Joe Bob Briggs to some degree. Kind of looping that back into the conversation, but yeah, I think it's a lost art. I feel like a lot of people don't do it, and I would love to see a modern adaptation or version of that. So.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Samitarian in the Midwest, in Indiana specifically, is still going on. And it's not Bob Carter. Bob Carter's no longer with us, but it's his son. I don't remember his name exactly, but his son is now doing it. Which is very cool, right? It's, but you don't, I mean, again, it looks like Sammy Terry. It sounds like it's got, you know, if you don't know the difference, it's Sammy Terry, right? And
Yeah.
it's because these are characters, and it's so cool that it's carried on, you know, with this. And they do, and again, Sammy Terry, he doesn't have a show, on TV in Indiana or anywhere else, but he does it on YouTube, right? He still does a horror host type show and does appearances and, it's still great. It's still great to see people do this. It's great to see new people do this on YouTube, right? There's a lot of public domain movies where people can go out there and do this kind of stuff. It's fun. And again, it's, I don't know whether you like it or you don't, it's still a very, very important aspect of horror fandom.
Absolutely. But all right. Happy birthday to Svengoolii. And we're going to jump now to March 14th of 1965. We have Kevin Williamson, the writer of Scream, Scream 2, Scream 4, Scream 7, I Entered Last Summer, The Faculty, and so many more. Yeah, Kevin Williamson is great, obviously. We are huge Scream lovers at this over here at Listen to Their Screams. And of course, we have reviewed the most recent Scream 7, so check that out as well. But love Kevin Williamson. He's a great writer. He keeps doing it too. So obviously he's got it going for him.
Yeah, love Kevin Williamson. Nice to see him back in the fold of Scream. I don't want to get back on the Scream. We always talk about Scream so much, but man, there's so much shit out there. I've seen a ranking. Everybody seems to be almost universally ranking Scream 7 as the worst Scream movie of all time. I don't know how I feel
I've
about
seen that.
that. So again, I don't know. We'll put a pin in that because we've talked about having the wives coming on and doing something with the rankings. So we'll put a pin in that for future discussion. But no matter what, Kevin Williamson brought a Scream. And that alone, right? That puts you on, damn near puts you on the Mount Rushmore. But then again, we've talked about that time period of horror. Not only did he do Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, The Faculty. I mean, these are underappreciated movies in our minds. We've talked about these a lot. So yeah, hats off to Kevin Williamson. Happy birthday. Very important to horror.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Kevin Williamson, and like you said, and he's going to do more. Hopefully, be part of the next Scream movie, and without getting on it too much, but good stuff. Happy birthday, Kevin! But all right, we have one more birthday before I jump now to the anniversaries. But March 18th of 1950, we have Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky. Obviously, Brad Dourif is an iconic figure in the Child's Play franchise. In fact, I was talking about the pit earlier. His daughter Fiona Dourif is in that. Fantastic actress, of course, as well. But yes, Brad is the OG Chucky. Great in the Chucky series. You actually get to see Fiona Dourif play a part in that as well, which is also fantastic. But yeah, love Brad, and I hope he can continue to do lots and lots and lots of Chucky voice in the future.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about Brad, right? I love the Child's Play series. We've talked, you know, again, it's something we've talked about a lot. There, you know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. There's rumblings, there's new stuff coming from Child's Play. I would assume Brad Dourif will be right in the mix of that and part of it, and rightfully so, right? He's iconic. He's. You talk about those Mount Rushmore, and I know that's the second time I've mentioned that, but you talk about these iconic pop culture movie characters. Chucky's one of them. And while Chucky is a doll, this visual, that voice that everybody knows is Brad Dourif. So that's him. All right. So he's the guy that gets the props for that. So yeah, hopefully Brad keeps working and giving us good shit for a while now.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that does it for our birthdays. So we got some anniversaries to run through. We have March 13th, 1981, The Howling.
Woo!
Love The Howling. I have a very soft spot in my heart for The Howling 2, Your Sister's a Werewolf, or depending on what version of you have, but it could also be The Howling 2, Sturba, She Bitch, or something like that. So yeah, I love The Howling though. Everything after the first one is just for goofs. I mean, they are so stupid.
Yeah, but that's still fun. But yeah, I mean, yeah, The Howling's a great movie. One of the best werewolf movies of all time, I dare say. So, great movie, prerequisite viewing for a horror fan. Yeah, great movie. And what, I mean, man, 81. Woo, hard to
Yeah.
believe. That's a long time ago.
It is. And, similar to 81, we have one from 87. So again, another hot minute ago, March 13th of 87, we have The Evil Dead 2, another classic. Nothing to
Yeah.
do with werewolves,
Nah.
but you know, we love the Evil Dead movies, and of course, we talked about it, I believe, last week. But Bruce Campbell, of course, you know, came out that you know he has cancer, so this is a good time to remember these fantastic movies and give him some support, you know. Obviously, he gets residuals, I'm sure, for all these movies. So we should all go out and stream every single Evil Dead movie in some official capacity to get him some money. No, I love the Evil Dead movies. Evil Dead 2 is not my favorite, but it's still a lot of fun. I'm also excited for Evil Dead Burn to come soon.
Yeah, we're right in the midst of, I don't know what you want to call it, right? This Evil Dead revival, I guess. I mean, right, it's very prominent right now. But I mean, I dare say Evil Dead 2, though, is probably one of the most widely known of the series, because it kind of recaps one in a way. It's and everything. So I mean, lots of people know Evil Dead 2. And I would venture to guess a lot of people came to that franchise to become friends of the for excuse me fans of the Evil Dead franchise via Evil Dead 2, and then probably then retro went back and saw the first Evil Dead. I would guess it's a good movie. It's a fun movie in the franchise. It lays a lot of foundation for of things in the within the franchise. But yeah, it's a great movie. Very fun to watch. And like you said, right, with everything going on. And again, I hate to say it, because Bruce Campbell's not dead, right? And Bruce Campbell's not gonna fucking lay down and die. I mean,
No.
and everything else. So but obviously his we're thinking about him. He's right there prominent for a different reason right now. So yeah, support his body of work, and yeah, go watch Evil Dead 2.
Absolutely. But all right. So it looks like we are now jumping to looks like, well, wow, March 15th of 2018. It is Terrifier. Did Terrifier really come out in 2018? I guess
Yeah,
it did.
sure did. First one.
Wow. That's crazy. But it seems so long ago. But it's only, what, 8 years ago now? Art Klein is not quite 10 years old. But, I guess if you count the originals, he probably is. March 18th, 2018, Terrifier. We love Terrifier here. Obviously, a lot of people have their opinions about Terrifier and Art the Clown and all that stuff. But, you know, we enjoy it for what it is. We take it all with a grain of salt, and you know, we enjoy it for what it provides us in terms of, you know, like, oh, this is just a fun slasher. And I feel like we're now starting to get into the lore of Terrifier. So I'm excited to see where the fourth one takes us for that. But yeah, love Terrifier, and I'm super excited to see what they do with it.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I love the first movie, and it's easy to forget, right? Because it didn't have Sienna and all that in it. But man, that first one it's just a great movie. It
Yeah.
is so fun. And again, we enjoy what's come with the the subsequent movies, and what is happening with the fourth one coming in. I mean, Art the Clown now has become so huge. And I mean, you see Art the Clown all over Walmart, right? There's a whole section of stuff in the electronics with Terrifier stuff and everything else. But you know, it started with this movie. And if this movie hadn't been good, if this movie hadn't been successful, it would have died right there. It wouldn't have built from there. But it had every. I mean, this movie's great. I mean, you know, and yes, I know there was complaints about, you know, the actress and certain treatments, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to belittle any of that. But that's not what we're talking about here. But there is it's a great movie, some iconic kills in it, and really established what Art the Clown could be and would become.
Absolutely. We love the Terrifier and we can't wait to see what's to come. We're going to jump now to March 16th, the 1979. We're going back for the Tourist Trap. This is a fun one. Definitely one of those movies you watch. You really don't know what direction it's going to go until the very end. I like Tourist Trap. It's a fun one for sure.
It's very much what you'd expect from a 1979 movie. It's fun, a little goofy, whatever, but that's okay. It's a get. We talk about it all the time, right? You got to walk before you can run, and there's movies that lay that foundation for what would come. And I feel like Tourist Trap's, why it's not one of the prominent ones, maybe perhaps, it's a pretty good key movie, for setting up the boom of the 80s. I think it's I enjoy Tourist Trap, and I think everybody should go give it a chance, give it a watch.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good one. It's not one most people talk about, but it's a good one.
Yeah, it's overlooked a lot.
Is. But all right. We got two more here. We got March 17th of 2000. We have Final Destination. Last year, I think it was, or the year before, we did a Final Destination Bloodlines. It was a pretty solid return to form for the Final Destination series. So check that out in our archives. But yeah, we love Final Destination. It was super unique. The 2000s really gave us a very unique horror movie that we really had never seen before. And it was right off the heels of, the pretty successful 90s, I'd say, for horror. And yeah, March 18, 2000 was, or I'm sorry, 17, 2000 was a good time for horror, for Final Destination especially.
Yeah, I mean, people, Final Destination, we talked about movies that are genre changing, right? Establish something new. And Final Destination was that. I mean, if you were around in 2000 when this was happening, this was new and different. And everybody was talking about Final Destination. And yeah, we've talked about, right? There's a lot of movies after varying qualities or whatever else. But everybody wants to watch a Final Destination movie just to see what the kills are. And that goes all the way back to this first one. So yeah, I mean it's a great franchise overall. Yeah, this is where it all began.
Yeah, absolutely. Spawned a series. But all right, one more anniversary. We have March 18, 20 and 22, excuse me, 2022. We have X. X gave us a lot for what it was doing. It gave us a trilogy and it started in 2022. We got X, Pearl, and then of course Maxine. Fantastic movie. Very, very fun. Definitely not what I was expecting from the movie when I went into it the first time. Very, very fun and I would say a positive experience overall. Would love to see more, but I feel like it's pretty much all wrapped up after Maxine.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see much more. Yeah, I've said it. I think they're all good. I think X is my favorite of the movies. I know, you know, it's a very right. A lot of people like Pearl, and I love Pearl too. Don't get me wrong, but I still think for me X is the funnest of the movies. Really like it, and yeah, great movie. I think great cast, a lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. But all right, that does for our anniversary. So we're going to talk about some upcoming releases. We have Undertone coming to theaters on March 13th, and it is described as the host of a popular paranormal podcast say that multiple times, popular paranormal podcast, becomes haunted by terrifying recordings mysteriously sent her way. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. I've seen a couple of trailers for this, and a lot of people are giving some hype to this, saying that it's a very much an auditory-driven horror film, and has some very unique methods of kind of conveying some of the things it wants to convey. So I'm interested. I'm down for this. Undertone is should be good.
Yes, I've heard really good things, right? I've heard a lot of people say this is the scariest movie of the year so far, and different things. And so I'm very excited. I think it feels like a unique take, kind of a unique thing, kind of in that Quiet Place type realm, right? Where it's kind of there's a lot of the listening aspect that's important, and that's I think that's beneficial. I think it'd work. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Yeah, can't wait to see it and talk about it next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. But I heard the same thing, that it's the scariest movie of 2025. So we will be the judge of that. Otherwise, we do have a Shudder release for you folks, and I guess a fun backup in case for some reason we can't watch Undertone. But we have Body Cam coming to Shudder on March 13th. It is described as two police officers investigate a domestic dispute, and there is an accidental shooting. Not wanting to be crucified by the public, the officers attempt to cover it up, only to uncover that the cameras aren't the only things watching them.
Good.
I've seen some good trailers for this, and I've heard some pretty decent chatter about this one as well. And it's a streaming release for Shudder. I think that it is somewhat found footage a la body cam, quite literally. And yeah, I think this will be good too. This will be a good streaming release for those who can't make it to the theaters this weekend.
Yeah, I think so too. And it, yeah, as you read through that description. Right, up to a point, it's like, ooh, this all sounds eerily real. And this is a kind of a hot button topic or whatever you want to call it right now. And yeah, again, people that are canceling Shudder subscriptions or whatever else are missing out on a lot of good stuff. And this sounds like yet another good movie coming to Shudder.
Absolutely. Shudder always has the bangers, and that's all what I'll always say, but all right, that does it for our news, upcoming birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our official review of The Bride.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
All right, we're back here on Listen to Their Screams. It is review time. And we are reviewing The Bride, written by Maggie Gyllenhaal, based on the writings, of course, of Mary Shelley, directed by Maggie Gyllenhaal, starring Jesse Buckley, Christian Bale, and others. The movie opened on March 6th in theaters and grossed $7,051,476 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number three. I will say on the weekend, number one was. I can't remember what it was. In opening, it was a animated movie of some sort. I don't remember what it was called. Number two was still Scream 7, which had a pretty strong showing, I think, for a second week. So, again, we're not going to go down that Scream 7 tangent. Lots of people are, whatever, bashing it, saying it's the worst stuff, whatever. Man, it's still raking in money, so whatever. I don't think the studio really going to care that much. But, again, if you want to hear our Scream 7 thoughts, go in the archives, last episode, blah, there you go. Everybody that listens to this show for any amount of time has picked up on the fact that I love Frankenstein, right? I love, and I think Frankenstein is such a timeless story that it is just tailor-made for adaptations. There's so many movies that are quote unquote derivative, or I don't mean that in a bad way, but of Frankenstein that don't seem like Frankenstein type movies. It's just such a great story that it is so easily adapted in multiple ways over time. To this day, you would think that at some point, right, it would be hard to come up with original ways to adapt this story, but no, it just keeps happening. I mean, we have gone right from having Guillermo del Toro have a pretty faithful adaptation of it to this, right, and everything in between, right? Now we have The Bride, which is derived from the works, but doesn't directly at all pull from the works. But Mary Shelley does play a very prominent role within the movie, and again, again, I don't want to give spoilers, right? This is set in whatever 30s Chicago. Everybody's seen the trailers. Everybody's heard us, if you listen to the show, heard us talk about it leading up to the release. We had a lot of anticipation, and I have to say, this movie did not disappoint me in any way. I fucking love this movie. And I have heard people online talking, right? Oscar talk. And I'm like, dude, number one, you might as well, in my mind, you might as well give the damn award to Jessie Buckley. She was so good in this movie. What a performance. And Christian Bale was great too. But Jessie Buckley was playing essentially, what, I don't even know what he was, two, three different takes on a character and different. It's hard to describe without you really telling you what was going on in the movie. But she did
Right.
such a good job, and was so good. This movie had me from beginning to end. I loved it. Thought it was great visually, costume wise, movie, excuse me, sound wise. Everything about this movie was great. Now, this is a horror movie in the same sense that the old monster movies are horror movies, right? It's not a slasher. It's not some, any of those modern tropes or whatever you want to call it, veins of horror. This is much more in the old monster movie, interpretation of those characters type. I don't know how diehard you can call this a horror movie, because based on the fact, except for the fact that it had Frankenstein's monster and the bride in it, and it was an interpretation of that, I don't know that it had a lot of horror elements to it, but I don't care. That's enough for me, right? Because we've talked about, you give it context, whatever you want, whatever the word, I don't even know the word I'm trying to think of. This movie was great. Let's just sum it as right. I love this movie. I want to watch this movie again. I was captivated by the performances in this movie. Again, Jessie Buckley, I don't know what else she's done. I'm not. I haven't really heard a lot about her, but she was so extraordinary in this movie, and did such a good job. I am 100% behind Maggie Gyllenhaal and her messages of this movie, and how she presented those. Well done all around. I really think this is the 2026 Sinners that's going to get all kinds of love come award season. And deservedly so. If it doesn't, that's a crime to me. Great movie. I loved it. Ike, what'd you think?
Here's what I'll say. For me specifically, like you said, let me rephrase, to kind of jump off of what you said as sort of my starting point, which is that I did not feel that this was a horror film. I felt like it had some of the classic tropes of a monster movie. I felt like it was pretty faithful to sort of that classic feel. Now, I didn't get a chance to watch the Bride of Frankenstein, the original, to kind of get like a position to kind of view this from. But from what I understand, it's pretty decent. It's a pretty okay take on what we got originally. And from the perspective of like being a horror movie, yeah, I definitely think that you would be hard pressed to call this like a true to form, like straight horror movie. But also, like you said, I do think that this is the Sinners of 2026. I don't think there's any other horror movie that will get the same buzz and award attention. Now, I did like it. I do think that it was a fun movie. It was not my favorite movie of 2026. Let me say that right out. But this is a movie that I would love to go back and rewatch. And like you said, Jessie Buckley did a fantastic job. She did. What was the movie she was? She was in a show, no, a movie called "I'm Thinking of Ending Things" on Netflix. It's an adaptation of a book. I think that she plays like the younger version of the main character, if I remember correctly, or either that or just some random person. But no, I think that that movie was pretty good. But that's a side tangent. Anyways, but for The Bride, like you said, she basically played multiple different versions of the same character, kind of type deal, and or different, like, I don't know, perspectives maybe would be the better word. I'm not sure, but definitely, in my opinion, if somebody were to go to theater and watch this, they're definitely going to get sort of that like fancy vibe of it, if that makes sense. Like, it's a fancy horror movie, quote unquote. Like, just like Sinners, like, some people didn't like Sinners because it seemed like it was supposed to be too high budget, maybe. I definitely feel like they put a lot of money into this movie, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. As for it being Maggie Gyllenhaal's first foray into this type of movie, I don't know if she's directed anything else. Obviously, she's been an actor in plenty of stuff, but yeah, it looks like this is one of her first directorial things. But as a major blockbuster and as like a step in the direction of a horror movie, she did a great job. No complaints on that perspective either. I think that, and I think she also wrote this movie, so I think she should continue to write movies like this because I would love to see more horror movies coming from her. And like you said, everybody else in the movie did great. Christian Bale was great. I think Jake Gyllenhaal had a little role in there too. So. Little nepotism. No, I'm just kidding. but no, I can't have really any many complaints about this other than I wish it was scarier. But at the same time, the traditional monster movie is not always just scary. It has those layers and that level of depth and messaging. So yeah, I think I'd say that it was a pretty solid movie. I do want to rewatch it though. I think Kayla might like it actually.
Yeah, again, I know, right? Maybe it's my bias towards Frankenstein in
Yeah.
general. Again, this fits right in with, an interpretation of a universal monster movie that has been done over the years. Again, it's not horror. Depending on your definition, it's not horror in the truest sense. But there's enough there for me that it qualifies. We talked about it with like Sin Help. I think this quantifies being closer to horror than that does,
Yeah.
based on the character and whatever. But again, loved the movie. Super advise everybody to go see it. It is great. These are depending. I know people have different likes within horror, but for horror to grow, get more recognition and more respect, we do need movies like this, right? People may not have liked, there might have been certain people that didn't like Sinners. Those people are crazy and wrong to me, but we needed a movie like that. It gives horror a certain level of respect and recognition. I know award shows, I don't really care about award shows. I don't get caught up in it, but when a horror movie gets recognition, it helps the genre as a whole. There is a certain right. There's different types of horror, different levels of horror, and it is important that we do get some of this top representation, among movies with, movies like Sinners, movie like Weapons, a movie like The Bride, where it's a movie that the snooty folk don't aren't afraid to watch and praise. Again, I loved it. I don't know if it's my bias with Frank, so whatever it may be, I loved it. So if I'm going to rate this thing, I am giving The Bride clearly a, I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 screams. I thought it was a great, great movie. So much fun. So well done. Can't think of, again, yeah, it could have been a little scary or whatnot. Yeah, I didn't expect that though. So I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you giving it?
I think I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. Still a solid movie. Like I said, I do wish to go back and rewatch this. Just so, I think a second watch through would be beneficial. Just because I like to rewatch movies, that because I always miss stuff. So I would love to do that. But absolutely, 3.5 out of 5 is solid. Would definitely rewatch.
There you go. All right. And as we mentioned earlier, next episode, we are talking about Undertone, a movie that I feel is a little more straight ahead horror. So we will see what we think of that next episode. But until then, we'd like to say thank you, of course, to the wives and then all of the listeners and followers for all of your support in everything we do. Speaking of support, be sure to subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform that you use. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the number 2 and Screams, and you will find us. We're all over the place. We're out there. We post stuff that's not talked about in the episodes, so make sure you follow us on social media. So next episode, again, we are reviewing Undertone. But before we close this one out, Ike, anything you want to add?
Let's see. No, I'm excited for Undertone. I think that'll be a good one. I'll probably also watch Body Cam because love a Shudder movie. I try and watch those as much as I can, as much as I can remember to. But I mean, we have a lot of really great stuff coming up. I mean, we've got a lot of movies coming up this month, next month, the month after. We have some great online releases coming up. We're going to get the Mortuary System here soon on digital, which will be good. But no, I'm just overall excited. I feel like 2026, just as a brief comment, as we finish out the first quarter here with March, I feel like it's been a solid quarter. I feel like we've had a lot of really good movies, a lot more positive than negative in that regard.
Yeah, so far so good. Easter is approaching. We do like holiday horror. I'm not very knowledgeable on Easter horror, but I'm sure there's some out there. So we may have to, scratch that surface and see what's out there and dig a little deeper. There's got to be plenty of representation of horror Easter bunnies.
I'm
So
sure.
yeah, so we'll talk about that in the coming weeks and yeah, and do a little research because I would definitely like to watch some of that because everybody knows we're fans of holiday horror here on the show. So there you go. That is our review of The Bride. That is all the latest news and anniversaries. We are setting the stage then for next episode to review Undertone. But till then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.